it occurred to me that I was like, you know, I'm really struggling here, and there must be other parents that are kind of in the same situation as me. Why isn't there just a website that's already pre-vetted a load of brands that they can say, you know, these brands are like doing awesome stuff. You can shop any of these items and know that you're on the right track. You know, they're acting in a more ethical way. They are perhaps made from more sustainable materials, and, you know, they're, you know, supporting fair labor practices.
Hi, I'm Sebastian Bolney, and this is The Sustainable Fashion Wingman, the podcast exploring the brands, innovations, and careers making fashion more environmentally and ethically friendly, proving that fashion doesn't have to cost the earth. I hope that you're enjoying listening to the podcast and are following along. Why not invite your friends to listen too, because there's lots more episodes coming your way. And of course, if you'd like to connect to like-minded professionals in responsible fashion, why not find me on LinkedIn and connect there. Now, it's one thing for us as adults to take conscious action on where we shop, to shop less, and to shop well, especially with the abundance of responsible and sustainable businesses popping up, and many established companies cleaning up their offerings and practices. But what about children? For most parents and guardians, it's not always a clear cut as to where to shop for affordable kids' wear, and also knowing it's having a low impact on the planet as possible. Well, today we have Lucy Todd, a mother, but also founder and owner of My Little Green Wardrobe, the online marketplace providing a one-stop shop for parents and guardians to kit out their kids with responsible brands. So, how does My Little Green Wardrobe help dress your little ones more sustainably? Well, let's find out. Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Sebastian. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast today. It's such a pleasure to chat again.
Yes, it's really good to have you back on the show. I know we had a little chat previously about My Little Green Wardrobe, so it's nice to have you here today to find out more about the adorable marketplace. So we want to find out what made you realize there was a need for something like My Little Green Wardrobe and how you've gone about addressing that need. So I know you've not really come from a clothing background yourself, an industry background yourself, but can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing before this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't come from a fashion and textile industry background or an e-commerce background or a business background, in fact. So yeah, this is kind of like totally uncharted territory for me, I have to say. So yeah, before I set up My Little Green Wardrobe around a year ago now, I was a BBC journalist and I'd worked at BBC News for around 15 years. So yeah, even though this is all kind of very new and like a big steep learning curve for me, I felt that the key thing that I could bring from my, you know, my previous career into this industry, or, you know, into my website that I have now, My Little Green Wardrobe, is my skills in research and my powers of kind of, you know, looking in, fact checking, you know, and I feel like that with sustainability and transparency, that's, you know, really key. Particularly when you're trying to cut through greenwash and make decisions about brands that you want to shop more ethically with and spend your money with.
So what was your motivation then for My Little Green Wardrobe if you know, your background wasn't actually in clothing? Obviously, you know, being a mother was part of it, but why did you want to get into sustainable clothing?
Yeah, so I mean, it was a combination of reasons, I guess. And, you know, as you alluded to there, I have two children and it's largely been inspired by them. But one of the last jobs I did for the BBC, as I mentioned, I was a journalist there. I was working on the arts and entertainment desk there, and that covers fashion. And so it was at that, whilst I was doing that job, that I really came across the impacts of the fashion industry and the textile industry. And, you know, I'd get press releases from the likes of, you know, Textile Exchange and Fashion Revolution and other kind of, you know, great nonprofits that are doing good work out there. And just, I found the stats, you know, just staggering and really shocking, actually. And the more I looked into it, I was like, I cannot believe this is going on unchecked, practically, and that everyone's okay with this. You know, obviously not everyone is okay with this. So, you know, from a personal perspective, I was like, I just, you know, I can't carry on shopping like I used to. At the time, I was just working off Oxford Circus. So regularly on a lunch break, I'd be trotting down to the shops there and just buying this and that. And, you know, following this kind of, you know, it was almost like an epiphany. I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that anymore. at the time, you know, I was in my mid-30s, you know, I've got a whole wardrobe full of clothes, a whole plethora. So for me, just to kind of cut back on shopping or really just stop entirely was not a massive, you know, it was no great shakes. It was not a massive sacrifice. I've got a whole wardrobe full of clothes that would barely get worn. So I found that, you know, that was on a personal level, that was the action I took. But then when it came to the children, you can't just say, right, that's it, not buying you any more clothes. Because, you know, as we all know with children, like they just grow all the time. So, you know, they're just constantly outgrowing stuff. So, you know, and I'm all for like hand-me-downs, like secondhand, you know, swaps and this, that and the other. And we do a lot of that, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you need to buy a new thing, you know, or you want to buy a new thing. So it was, I guess, at that point that I was just like, I found it really difficult to shop more sustainably, more ethical brands for my girls. And the crunch time came actually when my eldest daughter, who was about to start school, she got sent a list of things from her school of things that they wanted her to have, you know, PE kit and this, that and the other. But some of it was like duplications of things she already had. So it was like two sets of trainers, and she already had some trainers anyway. And one of the two things that really stood out were like wellies, which we already had wellies, but they wanted a set to be at school, and a puddle suit. And I was like, well, we haven't had a puddle suit since she was like two. So, and I was like, God, you know, I don't want to, she, you know, they were going to do forest school once a week and they wanted them for that. And I was like, great. So she's going to wear it like a handful of times across a year. By the time the year's up, she'll have outgrown it. And they're going to just get sent to landfill because, you know, they'll just have been like left in a corner, like rotting. No one's going to be looking after them at school, are they? So, you know, and at that point I was like, right, how can I like buy something with the least impact here? So I was on eBay trying to buy secondhand, you know, other secondhand shops and sites are available. But, you know, I looked across a different range of like sites to try and buy something that was used, just, you know, like used wellies are fine. Couldn't find anything. It was August. Fair enough, really. So then I was like, right, so I want to buy something with the, you know, that's been made maybe from natural materials, from a brand that, you know, pays its workers. So I just ended up, it took me a whole afternoon, and I was ended up going down this like internet, like rabbit warren is all I can explain it as, of like looking at different brands. Now, what's their ethos? What's their story? Go to the Our Story bit, read all about that. Oh, okay, yeah, they sound good. Okay, right, have they got anything I want? Oh yeah, I've tracked down something I want. Is it in the right size? Oh yeah, have they got the size? And then, oh, let's have a look at the, you know, the product spec. Oh, it's made out of PVC. So yeah, not actually sustainable. So it occurred to me that I was like, you know, I'm really struggling here, and there must be other parents that are kind of in the same situation as me. Why isn't there just a website that's already pre-vetted a load of brands that they can say, you know, these brands are like doing awesome stuff, you can shop any of these items and know that you're on the right track. You know, they're acting in a more ethical way, they are perhaps made from more sustainable materials, and you know, they're you know, supporting fair labor practices, that kind of thing. So that was sort of my light bulb moment, and I just was like, that's what I'm going to do. So yeah, and that was kind of how it came about. And I started doing some research and was just like, yeah, there are some really great brands out there, but how would you know about them unless there's like a really awesome platform? Like I just found it really difficult to find the brands that were doing the good things because there were so many other brands drowning them out. So I guess that's the point of my screen wardrobe, is that I just kind of want to give a really good platform and have like a, you know, our motto is top to toes ethical clothes, that you could dress your kid like entirely, or baby entirely, in brands, in multiple brands, you know, from top, you know, head to toe, with clothes that are slightly more, you know, sustainably made. So yeah,
that's fantastic. And it's, you raise a lot of challenges there, which I think a lot of people do actually know about anyway, but especially around kids wear, and it is, there is the case of, obviously, you know, you can get hand-me-downs or secondhand clothes, but with kids clothes they go through so much more wear generally. And they grow out of them so quickly. So you can't just, you know, it's like you said yourself, you can't just have one wardrobe of clothing and that'll last them forever, because it's not going to last them for a few months.
That's it. And then the other thing as well is that people, I mean, the thing with that is that people think, well, there's no point buying like sustainable or more ethical clothes because they're going to outgrow them or they're going to get through them quickly. Now, I always have a story that always really struck me when I just set up my little green wardrobe. And it was, you know, it was during the pandemic, or just coming off the back of the pandemic, and the shops had just you know, the high street shops had just reopened. And one of my, like a mother, like a mum friend of mine said, oh, I'm just going to pop down to, you know, a very well-known high street chain store, and was like, oh yeah, I went in there and I bought, you know, like 80 quid, 90 quid's worth of stuff, including leggings for her two-year-old, who's the same age as mine at that point. And she was like, oh yeah, I need to buy lots of them because I get about three wears out of them before she goes through the knees, and then I just throw them away. And I was like, what? Like, why are you still buying these sets of leggings that you get three wears out of? That is just insane. And I was like, well, why don't you maybe just spend £10 on a pair of leggings that are made from, you know, more durable, like organic cotton, premium cotton, that, you know, and you should actually expect a pair of leggings to last you for a winter, you know, like not obviously not just one pair, they're going to need a several, you know, several pairs for washing and all of that and stuff. But I was like, you should be able to expect a garment to last you for a season and not have to ship it out, throw it away before, you know, after a few wears. And I just found that shocking. And, you know, so even though kids get through that rotation quite quickly, they still, of everyone, you know, they put their clothes to the hardest wear. Like, they're the hardest users, aren't they, of clothes? They're like skidding on their knees, climbing trees. Like, they're, you know, they're not looking after their clothes, are they? So you want the things that are going to last and not pay twice or three times in some cases for an item.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it's a false economy to buy cheap when something, if you, you know, pay a little extra for something that lasts and is a bit more durable, especially for kids, and it's going to last a little bit longer and get more wear out of it. It's worth doing much more, of course. Mm-hmm. The business is still quite new. So when did you launch?
Oh, well, actually, we're coming up for our very first birthday at the end of June. So that's super exciting.
Congratulations. Right?
Thank you. So yeah, we've come a long way since then. Like, as I mentioned, I don't have a background in fashion, e-commerce, marketing, business, any of that. So there's been so much to learn. And I feel that, you know, I kind of rather naively entered into things thinking that once I had this concept and this awesome website and some great products to sell, the orders would just come flooding in. So I, you know, in retrospect, that's not quite worked the way that I'd hoped. It doesn't quite work like that. And it's, you know, it's a really competitive market, as you know. So there have been a few false starts along the way, but, you know, we're growing, we're getting there. It's just kind of time consuming. Like, I was just like, in a year's time, I'll be making, you know, a bit of money and I can invest this. And like, if I look back at my business plan now, I was like, right, year one, I'm going to do this. By year three, I'm going to have done this. By year five, this. And it's like, I look at it, it's like laughable. I'm like, it's so lovely and ambitious. And there's still things that are on my radar, but things take time to build and grow. So that's, you know, that's what we're doing.
They do. And I hear that quite a lot with startups, that that there's usually a very, very long learning curve at the beginning before even launch. And even while launching, there's a lot of teething problems because there's so many variables that aren't always easy to foretell, really. Bit of advice, obviously, as a business consultant is keep doing what you're doing, and it's fine to have a plan, but obviously expect it to be flexible.
Yeah, it's okay to veer away from the plan occasionally.
Absolutely, absolutely, because you'll always have to, probably. How did you find launching? So you launched, we're coming up to a year, so last year, mid, almost near the end of the pandemic, but still quite heavily into it. How did you find that?
Do you know what? I found like the pandemic was probably the best thing in a way that, you know, that really, it really spurred me on to take the plunge with it. You know, I came up with the idea, I guess, mid 2020, and, you know, it took about a year and a bit, less than a year before we, you know, finally launched the site and it was ready. But I think the pandemic was good for kind of, you know, a lot of people, because it gave them a real, you know, it was a real existential period of lives for a lot of people, where, you know, you really question what you're doing in life, whether the things you're doing are really making you happy. You sort of, it was a good point to reassess and reevaluate. And I guess the other thing, you know, part of like the reason why I set it up was because, you know, we're all becoming a lot more climate aware and climate conscious. And when I came up with the idea, I was like, well, you know, like I could do this or I couldn't, I could just leave it. But then I was like, I feel like the concept is needed. I feel like it would be helpful. And if I don't do it, then who's going to do it? And if I can help other people to shop in a more sustainable way, in a more ethical way, then, that's, you know, that's great. And the other key, you know, cornerstone of it really was that I was like, in years to come, like if my kids ask me and say, you know, at this crucial time in our like environmental journey in our planet, like, what did you do? Like, did you just sit back? I guess I kind of wanted to say, no, I didn't. I did my best. I did try and do something and help, you know, help improve things and make things better. So I guess that whole time you get a bit more, you know, during the pandemic, like I said, it was a slightly existential period of life. And I guess that's part, you know, part of the reason. And, you know, I always wanted to have my own business. So I guess I was just like, you know, if not now, then when really? And then I guess from, you know, the other thing is from a practical perspective, the pandemic was useful for me because I wasn't having to commute into work, which, you know, it was an hour's commute there and back. So, you know, that saved me additional time. So that gave me a bit of time to sort of devote to the planning stages of the business and, you know, getting the concept right. Whereas, you know, I wouldn't have had that. So it was nice to, I guess that was kind of useful as well in a way. And it's also on a plus point, it's also meant that more people have turned to online shopping, which for my site is a very useful thing indeed.
That's very true. A lot of companies who suffered were the ones that relied heavily on retail. And of course, the ones that relied on e-commerce, it was a bit of an advantage for them. It was a boon, wasn't it, for online? Yeah, absolutely. And I know obviously a lot of the brands that you stock on site are e-commerce as well. So that obviously helped as well. Can we mention, I don't know if it's okay to mention any of the brands that you stock?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we stock a fantastic variety of brands because, you know, like I really was keen to get a broad selection because I was very keen to avoid the age old adage that sustainability is fine if you can afford it, you know, that it has to be expensive. So we've got different brands and different products at different price points. So, you know, I was talking about leggings earlier. So an organic cotton, a pair of organic cotton leggings starts from like £9 or £10 from the likes of like Turtle Dove, Lily and Sid and Muesli. But then we have some more brands that are a bit more premium in nature, you know, both their prices and sort of their appeal. So that's reflected in that, so in their prices. So it's, you know, Tobias and the Bear, it's one of those, Hunter and Boo, and they're both gorgeous. They're like fantastic brands, like gorgeous prints, particularly Hunter and Boo, who've got quite a, I think they originally, they're British, the sisters that founded it, but I think they were over in Singapore at the time. So you've got like this really lovely kind of sort of nature inspired, but it's kind of like jungle and things like tropical sort of themes and stuff going on in some of their designs. They're so good. But yeah, most of the brands are British, actually. And we have one of them that's Danish, which I just mentioned, Muesli. And their parent brand, in fact, was the first, they're called Green Cotton, sorry. And they were the first ever people who made an organic cotton t-shirt. So yeah, they were the very first people behind an organic cotton t-shirt. So yeah, we've got like a really, their like pedigree is impeccable. So yeah, we've got them on the site, but then we've also got some brands that are designed and manufactured right here in the UK. And I think that's important because, you know, I want to support local businesses, both from an ethical sort of, you know, it's great to support, you know, local small businesses, but also it's great from a sustainable standpoint as well, because, you know, there's lower miles and lower carbon footprint often associated with clothes that are manufactured closer to home. And then, of course, we also have Frugi as well, which I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're like the grand dame of kids' organic clothing. So, yeah, they approached me actually at the beginning of the year. So we just had to get them onto the site too, which, you know, and they're fantastic and beautiful colours and bright prints and everything. So yeah. And I mean, the thing is about all of them, you know, no matter the price, is that, you know, you're getting a really great premium product that's more environmentally friendly, it's more durable, and, you know, it's supported fair labour conditions as well.
That's brilliant. And yes, we're very aware of Frugi, big fan of Frugi, beautiful clothing. And they came to you, which is fantastic. I know for a lot of businesses, that'll be a bit of a, wow, that's great. Because obviously a lot of people have to go out and find customers for their businesses.
Yeah,
I
was just going to say, I'd really fight for like a big blue ribbon brand like that, you know, because they don't always say they want to be stocked by everyone. They, you know, sometimes can be quite choosy. So, you know, yeah, it was a real compliment that they sought us out.
Yeah, completely. So I was going to say, how do you go about finding other brands? How do you get them to come to you?
Yeah. So initially, I guess they came from my research into brands when I was just trying to shop like I said, shop more ethically for my own two children. So like I said, I came across, after extensive research, I came across loads of really great brands doing great stuff that I was like, you know, they just need to be housed like on a sort of a platform and given a bit of exposure to. But then, you know, since then I've met brands at trade shows and, you know, of course on social networks as well. There's like a really lovely community of small brands, particularly on Instagram, that are just trying to behave in a more sustainable and socially responsible way. So yeah, there's, you know, there's so many, it's almost like I've got to the point where there's so many brands, too little time. Like I'd love to get everyone on board straight away, but it takes time to get a brand on board and kind of like, you know, getting the products up and also assessing, you know, where they're at in their journey and stuff like this. So it's like you said earlier, it's, you know, got to keep going, keep plugging away. Everything's a work in progress. So yeah, I want to have like a really vast array at some point. At the moment we've got 12, we started with 6. So yeah, we're doing all right. We've got like quite a nice sort of stable for at the moment. And then, you know, we've got plans for a few more in the coming sort of months as well. So we'll keep going.
It sounds like a very, very positive trajectory for you already in less than a year. What was the, when you contact brands, what's their response to this? Is it, do they say to you, okay, this is new, or is it, you know, this is what we've been looking for?
Yeah. Do you know what? Originally when I first, that was the other thing I was going to say, some of the brands that I'm working with now, actually, it's lovely because some of them are like the very first people that I was having conversations with at kind of the proof of concept point, you know, where I'd come up with this idea and I was like, you know, is there even any demand for that? What would the brand say? Could I even get anyone to like work with me? And yeah, so some of them are the brand owners or, you know, the people who are working with the brands that I now have on. And they were like, they were so brilliant, like so encouraging. And they were like, yeah, if this was, if you got this up and running 100%, we totally want to be involved, which is, you know, that's lovely because that gives you a bit of confidence to go out there and actually do it. And, you know, generally I've just had a really lovely warm reception from them because, you know, whenever you talk to, especially more ethical and more sustainable brands, they are like super happy to shout about the good stuff they're doing. And if they can have someone else do the shouting for them as well, then that's fantastic, isn't it? So, you know, they're always super warm, super friendly, really transparent because essentially they've got a good story to tell and they want to tell it. So, you know, I'm just trying to help tell people, you know, other brands good stories for them.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about the sustainable fashion space. It's a much more welcoming. And like you say, people have got things they want to shout about, you know, things that they're very passionate and it's their values as well. And everyone shares the same values in that space and they're very happy to kind of share.
I'm really supportive
in that space.
Yeah, exactly. Really promote each other, really supportive because it's almost like a little private members club that everyone's like trying to fight the good fight, you know, and yeah. If you can give someone else a little leg up or help someone else or give some positive feedback to us, another person's brand, then, you know, that's, you know, the least we can do.
Yeah, it's very positive. It's fantastic. What do you believe makes a children's clothing brand sustainably and ethically responsible in your view?
So I'd say a holistic approach, really, not just a piecemeal change to, you know, an otherwise unsustainable collection or business model, I suppose. You know, like if they're going to claim to be sustainable or an ethical brand, it's got to be part of the foundations of what the brand is trying to achieve and, you know, inform everything else they do from there. So, you know, from the materials they choose, you know, the processes that are involved with that, the labor, you know, to the shipping, the packaging, the promo material, you know, which brand partners they choose, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think if you're trying to act in a more ethical way, and especially if you're trying to market yourself as such, then you need to be doing it across the board rather than just tweaking one or two little things, you know. But having said that, you know, I get that sustainability is a journey and different businesses are at different stages of that pathway or different pathways altogether. But, you know, so what we're looking for really in brands is, you know, some progression, you know, from the norm. You know, we're looking for progression, I suppose, not perfection, I guess, is the key thing. There's no one way to be sustainable because, you know, that in itself would be unsustainable because if everyone did the same thing, then that wouldn't really fit in with the planet's boundaries, you know, the planet's resources either. So there's lots of different ways of doing things. And that's the other thing I think I've learned as I've gone along on this journey, that, you know, particularly when you start out, you're like, well, which one's more sustainable than the other? Like, is it this thing? Is it that thing? This is made of a bit of Tencel and something else, and this is linen, and that one's this. And it's just a lot to get your head around. And I think, you know, so long as you're seeing improvement and particularly intent, you know, across the board from a brand, I think, you know, that's you get a feeling for a brand and you know that that's what they're aiming for and that's what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, you're right. And sustainability is quite a holistic kind of concept, even though, you know, we use the word quite a lot and people think, oh, it means you're using a certain type of material, but actually it involves so many different elements that can be quite complex, but everything from, you know, how do they treat their workers, you know, because it's the ethical side too when we talk about sustainability in general, right up to, you know, how are they handling the end of the life of the product and with regards to returns, or, you know, does it go to landfill, do they recycle it and things like that, can it be even recycled? So there's so many elements involved.
Yeah, you know, 100%, you're not going to be able to nail every single thing like straight on, you know, like, you know, I get that, you know, if you've started a business and you're building, then you can 100% like build in sustainability and best practices as you go. But I realize that there are brands that are trying to pivot now and trying to, you know, do things differently than they did before. So, and that takes work and that takes time. And I get that. But I guess the thing that is, you know, it can be galling to see some brands claiming, you know, crying sustainability and eco this and eco that, when, you know, they're not really doing as much as they could be. And at the end of the day, the business model is flawed. They're just trying to sell as much as they can for as little as possible and make a margin and pay the minimum and not care about the conditions that people are working in. You know, as you said already, like the thing that always gets me is that I'm like, you know, we abolished child labor in this country hundreds of years ago. Like, it's sort of synonymous with Dickensian times and, you know, Victorian period. Like, but why would we be okay then for kids to be making clothes for our kids in other countries? Like, that's just such a double standard, isn't it? You know, and then for brands that have enough money to pay people correctly to not be insisting on correct standards, that's just, you know, hypocrisy, isn't it? So, yeah, but you know, because brands aren't necessarily 100% transparent, it's hard to know which brands are doing what and which aren't. So, you know, and that's kind of, I guess, one of the things that I'm trying to do on my screen wardrobe. So one of the key parts of the initial concept was that I wanted to inform, you know, shoppers and customers about what the brands were doing and how they were acting sustainably. So it's all very well just saying, oh, this is a more sustainable brand. Like, well, what are they doing? So that's why I've kind of, my journalism has come in, that I've tried to break things down for shoppers and for consumers that they can say, oh, okay, here's bite-sized, like easily understandable information about what this brand does, how they act, what kind of practices they use. So on the site, I've got a set of ethical values that I apply to each brand and each product. So I apply, you know, different ethical values according to what they adhere to. So it could be like, you know, if they're more environmentally friendly, then it could be planet. If it's, you know, labor, then it's, you know, they get a people symbol. So that means that you can filter the clothing according to the values that are most important to you. So if you're vegan, you can shop just vegan clothing, you know, that adheres to that criteria. And, you know, if you want locally made clothing, so clothing made in the UK, because that has a lower footprint, then you can shop that. You know, it even goes down to like, you know, diversity, inclusivity. So female-led brands, brands that are putting models, for example, of like, you know, making sure representation is key there. So making sure there's diverse and inclusive models showing, you know, showing their clothing and stuff. So, you know, that was the key thing that I wanted to do right from the outset, that I was like, I want people to have agency over how they spend their money. So, you know, how their pounds, you know, which businesses their pounds are supporting, because I think that's really important that people feel like they are supporting a business that aligns with their own values.
That's really interesting, a very interesting concept and idea, because obviously a lot of companies now are starting to see you can shop online with perhaps they've got a sustainable range, or, you know, you can filter by more sustainable products or green products, but you can actually people can shop on your website, not just because it's all sustainable product, but actually they can prioritize what's the most important factor to them as well.
Yeah, that's right. And then I also try and really break down what things are made from. So, you know, like we've set off with a really high benchmark. So everything on the site adheres to, you know, planet and people. So everything has to have ethical labor practices and have us a more sustainable, you know, material. It has to be derived from a more sustainable material. But I found when I was looking at other websites, like even just the other day, you know, it would say it's made from organic cotton, but it doesn't tell you anything about that organic cotton. Like, is it certified organic cotton? Is it, and if it is certified, who's it certified by? Where's it made? You know, what's been, you know, what are the dyes and all of that stuff. So it's one of those that I try and give people as much information as they might want to have. Like if you really know your stuff, then you can really, you know, go granular with it. But if you're just like, okay, I just want to know, like, okay, I want it to be people, planet, and I want to do vegan as well. So then, you know, you can just use the icons and know that that's right. But if you're interested and you want to look further into it, I give the details about how those brands are performing and what they're doing.
That's interesting. That's amazing. So you kind of set a certain criteria for brands that want to come onto the site that they've got to kind of like follow.
Yeah, that's right. So before when I find brands, it's a bit of a process. That's why I said it's quite a process getting them on board, really, because I find them, or, you know, some instances they find me, which is nice as well. And, you know, I kind of do a bit of like, you know, initial research on them, like find out what I can to see whether our values look like they're going to align. And then we'll schedule, you know, a call, we'll have a chat and we can, you know, discuss further about their practices and this, that and the other. And then from there, if we think it's a good fit, then I get them to fill out like this whole, you know, quite a robust assessment like form, which kind of delves into all of their, you know, practices, whether it's like environment, you know, the production and the manufacture practices, like what are the farms, you know, do they visit the farms that are growing the cotton? When do they visit the factories? You know, how did they choose the factories that are making the garments? You know, what other certification is there? So that's the other key thing as well, is that I'm not just taking their word for it. Like all the brands that I work with have to have a third party certification, because I'm not there on the ground. They're not there on the ground every day. You know, even if they're made in the UK, it's unfeasible, untenable for a brand to be on site all the time, seeing actually what goes on in the ground. So, but you know, the best mitigation against that we have is third party certification. So, you know, I insist on that for any of the big claims that are made. That's, you know, that's what I'm looking for. So yeah, so they have to go through quite a meticulous audit almost from me, but you know, like we said, they're happy to tell me, they're happy to talk about it, because it takes a lot of work to get there. And once they've got there, they're like, boom, here we go, yeah, we have all that info and we're happy to share it with you.
Of course. And a lot of these brands, like you say, they already have it anyway, so that helps you out. And is there a certain age range on what you sell? Does it stop at any particular point?
Oh yeah, well yeah, we do, unfortunately. 0 to 6 at the moment is what I'm aiming for. So I'm just aiming for kind of like preschool, early years. I'd love to go up, you know, one day I'd love to go up to 12, but at this stage it's, you know, it takes money and resources to stock that amount of product. So, you know, I don't have that much money to spare on the inventory just yet, but you know, in coming years as we grow, hopefully we can grow a few years at a time. So, you know, the next, I guess the, at the moment we're up to 6. So the next kind of like logical place would be to stock up to 8 and then maybe up to 12 after that. So, but I hear from other like retailers and also parents, because my children, my oldest one's 6 and my youngest is 3. Like I hear from parents that are, you know, a bit further along the journey than I am, that once they get past like 8 or 9, like getting them to wear stuff that you want them to wear is a bit tricky. So it has a bit of a plunge, because they're like, yeah, I'm not interested in the stuff that you bought for me, mum. I want to wear the stuff all the other kids are wearing at school. And they might not be so bothered about wearing the organic cotton stuff more as so the really big names, you know. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, definitely a plan to sort of advance there.
So that's a whole other challenge that you're about to face at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. On a personal level, I'll be trying to get my kids to wear like the stuff from the site and they'll be like, no, but you've got to rep for the brand.
Start introducing them to the more sustainable adult brands then.
Yeah, well, that's it. Now I have to get some good recommendations from you, Sebastian, for that. sustainable teen brands.
Well, oh, that's a good one. It could be my teen green wardrobe.
My teen. It's got a ring to it.
So absolutely. It's, like you said, it's early days, you know, it's just about a year for you. So that's part of what your future, I guess, holds for you, is perhaps looking at different age ranges and teen wardrobes.
Yeah. Teen green wardrobe. Teen yeah. Green wardrobe. It sounds like some Ninja Turtles or something, doesn't it?
It does actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I do. And like I said at the outset, I had these like really ambitious plans that by year three, I'd be doing, you know, all this stuff. But so some of the stuff that I really want to explore is, I really want to explore the pre-loved sector, because that's, you know, really growing. And I think a great thing, like it's fantastic. So I'd love to have a pre-loved section of the site where, you know, anything bought from my little green wardrobe can be returned. And, you know, if it's gently worn, then we can resell it, with the idea that, you know, again, the whole thing about sustainability being okay if you can afford it, kind of thing. If we've got a whole section of the site where, you know, you can buy things for really affordable prices, you know, like half the normal retail price, then there really is no excuse to not buy, you know, like buy organic cotton, like stuff that's all environmentally friendly and supporting ethical labor practices. If we can get more life out of it, then that's always going to be a good thing. So that's kind of one of my plans that I want to look into. And I'd love, love, love to have our own clothing range, our own clothing line at some point. And possibly, I haven't done much research into this yet, but I'd love to look into the idea of like a customers pre-ordering their wardrobe. So like a season ahead, and it being, you know, you buying like a capsule wardrobe. Like, you know, if you've got kids, you know, in the summer, you're going to need like, okay, two pairs of shorts, like three t-shirts, like a lightweight jumper. You don't have to buy the whole like gamut of everything they're going to be wearing. Of course, you can still buy things for seasonality and things that, you know, that you just see and you like. But if you know you've got a summer holiday booked in 6 months time, and you know you're going to need some clothes for that, then you could just order those things 6 months time, and you know it can be pre-made for you. And then it reduces kind of the waste, take, make, waste sort of cycle.
Absolutely. I was going to say that does actually combat waste when it's made to order. And of course, resale, great idea. And especially what we were saying before about kids is that because they grow out of their clothes so quickly, that actually being able to pass them down or pass them on is a great way to keep the life cycle going.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some of the clothes that we have that for my own kids that have been through maybe like six children, like, because I've got my brother lives nearby. He's got two girls. They've got, you know, the sister-in-law lives nearby and they've got two girls. So some of the clothes that my youngest wears, been through six kids and still good.
Yeah.
Still good to go. So, you know, it's the thing about like, I guess, you know, the sustainability angle is that there's loads of different approaches. There's loads of different ways to be more sustainable and to act in a more sustainable way. Like I said, I'm totally here for hand-me-downs, you know, secondhand clothes, pre-loved clothes. I think that's a brilliant way of us just acting in a better way to start with. And I think, to be fair, most parents probably do rely on hand-me-downs a bit. But yeah, but just when you want to buy new, like everyone should be okay to buy like a new dress or a new something for their kids here and there. Like that's still acceptable and that's still fine. But, you know, when you do so, just try and do it consciously and, you know, with the best information you have, and buy the best that you can, you know, because it's for you, A, for your children to wear, and B, for your children's future, isn't it? So, you know, you're trying to act in the best way for your children in every single way.
Absolutely. That's a lovely way to look at it. And of course, I assume your kids wear most of the brands that you sell.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we get lovely compliments as well. And people are always like, oh, they look really adorable. And they're lovely. The clothes are just fantastic. They're super, like you said at the start, they're super adorable, you know, lovely clothes. And it's just so nice to know that, you know, they've been made well and they're going to last and they're a lower impact, you know, they're brilliant. Yeah, I love the brands that we've got. There's like a, you know, something there for everyone, I would say. So, you know, take a look, check it out.
That's fantastic, Lucy. It's been so nice to find out about my little green wardrobe. And hopefully one day, if I ever get around to having kids of my own, I'll know where to come for their clothes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the listeners, it's worth checking out the offering on the site of my little green wardrobe, and keep an eye out for my teen green wardrobe in the future, especially if you're a parent or a guardian looking for ways to dress your kids with less environmental impact. You can find the website link in the episode description as always. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
And thank you again for the listeners. It has been the Sustainable Fashion Wingman podcast. And I'm Sebastian, helping you dress, live, and work more sustainably.